Hi, everybody. Welcome back to WFAN's Baseball Insiders Yankees podcast for Thursday, October 14th. I'm Sweeney Murdy. The Yankees let three of their coaches know that they will not be coming back for the 2022 season, waiting to hear about the future of Aaron Boone and the rest of the staff, the rest of the organization. But three coaches were told yesterday, on Wednesday, that they will not be coming back for the following season. They are hitting coaches Marcus Timms and PJ Pelletieri, and third base coach Phil Nevin. I spoke with all three of them today shortly after the news came out, starting with Marcus Timms. I asked him when he found out and what he was told.
Found out yesterday afternoon. Cash called me and just said that they were going to go in a different direction. And my thought was like, give me some things that, you know, you thought that we failed at, and some of the things that, you know, I didn't particularly agree with, but, you know, he's the boss and he wanted to move on. So with that being said, the only thing I regret, Sweeney, is, like I said earlier, that we didn't help the team win a championship, because I know the work myself and PJ put in, the hours. But at the end of the day, this is part of, you know, when you sign up to be a coach, sometimes this is what happens. So it's just, you know, another chapter in my book, and I've been blessed to be a part of the organization for quite a long time.
What were some of those specific reasons that were given to you?
I just feel he felt like, you know, that was kind of a disconnect between, you know, what we were doing at the major league level and what they're doing at the minor leagues level. So with that being said, I just feel like he's got some people giving him the information that, you know, I guess me and PJ wasn't doing enough. But I, if I can recollect, I think we led the league in hitting for quite a few years here. But but at the end of the day, man, it's just, it was time to move on. So I wish those guys nothing but the best.
So, I mean, it kind of lends the idea of wondering, like, is there a disconnect in philosophy, in approach to hitting? Is it about the information that is delivered on a daily basis and how it's used? How does that break down?
I don't think, like, the information, I think we had a really, really good connection with our analyst and through the players. He would have stuff and he would run it through me and we would make sure we give it to the guys. So I don't think that. I think it's like some drill stuff that maybe some guys are doing down in the minor leagues that, you know, that we weren't quite doing at the major league level. But at the same time, I have major league hitters. I don't have minor league hitters. So when it comes to that part of things, I just think there's just, you know, this person does this and this person does that. But, like, you know, I have guys that have a pretty good track record and I have to build off of that.
Marcus, the question that probably kept you up at nights, and it was the one that we kept asking on a daily basis and fans kept asking on a daily basis, basically, why didn't this team hit? A lot of the same players who put up monster numbers in 2019 didn't do that this year. Go ahead.
I just think it's baseball, Sweeney. It happens. You know, it happens, and, you know, I know for a fact that, you know, we didn't stay stagnant. You know, we still got struggling. Did we try different things? Of course we did. That's one thing about myself and PJ. We always tried to get the best out of players, and whatever is out there that we thought would help our guys, we tried to do that. But at the end of the day, we didn't get the job done. You know, the players, there's some players that have regressed a little bit, and I'll take that personally. But I know I can lay my head on the pillow and know I gave it everything I had.
What were some of the things, and I know it's hard when you're trying to prepare for a game every day and try and fix things on the fly, but what are some of the things that you tried to do differently as players struggled?
You know, it's just, first of all, it's when it goes to the mindset. You know, I want to see where they're at mentally, because everybody can point things out, you know, on TV and on video, on the mechanic side of things. Sometimes it's a little bit more than that. And for me, I think, personally, a lot of our guys were dealing with some things that were, you know, a little bit more mental than it was physically, and that's where I was trying to really dive deep into to some of the issues, and you know, at the end, we never really got that inconsistency out of some of the guys.
And that's a big part of coaching too, right? It's not just about video and X's and O's. That mental side is really one of the biggest things you have to deal with, right?
Yeah, it really is, Sweeney. The guys that we have are really talented. And, you know, it's easily, you know, guys can see one bad swing on TV and just circle it and get it on the internet and say, I think he's doing this or doing that, but they have no idea what he's thinking. And I think I've been around some really good hitters, and I know when they're going through a rough spell there, it's mostly mental than it is physically. So mechanically, I'm sorry. But I just think that, like I said earlier, myself and PJ, I think we gave it everything we could.
With one criticism about the lineup and the roster construction is it does appear that there are a lot of similar hitters in this lineup. Did that make it difficult to score more consistently? Were they easier to pitch to this year?
That's a question you have to ask Cash and Booney Sweeney. It's a great question, but I think that's something you have to ask and Booney and Cash.
Do you think better balanced lineup would have made a difference during the for a whole season?
Yeah, I don't like using excuses like that, Sweeney. I still feel like we still had the talent on the team, but it just didn't really show. I don't like making excuses about the lineup construction and all that stuff. But if you get deep into that, that's when you have to go after people that's above me.
I know a lot of times when there's a disconnect with coaches or players or whatever, it has to do with friction and relationships. You didn't seem to have any of that friction with your players. You've known them for a long time. It seemed like you worked really well with them.
Always. That's my main thing. I'm a good listener, Sweeney. Being a coach, you got to be a good listener. You got to get to know your players and, you know, what they're all about and trying to really dive into who they are as a person. So, and I think you do that and you get all that friction stuff out of the way.
You did get to bounce around to some other organizations, but you did spend a lot of time here, both as a player and as a coach. Given all your time here, when you hear that you're not coming back, how does that hit you?
It sucks because I know that I've always wanted to win a championship here. I've been here as a minor league player, major league player, major league coach, minor league coach, and. I've built a lot of really good relationships in this in the organization there in New York, and there's a lot of really good people that have helped me along the way. The only thing that, like I said earlier, that I regret is not bringing a championship to the organization.
Marcus Timms, the Yankees hitting coach, the assistant hitting coach, PJ Pelletier, has been in the Yankees organization as a player and coach since 2004. I asked him when he found out he was being let go and what he was told.
Found out yesterday late afternoon. Got a call from Cash and, thanked me for all the hard work and, over the last 4 years and just said, hey, we're going to go in a different direction and we're not going to renew your contract or we're not going to be offering you a new contract. So, I own the responsibility of the fact that we didn't get the job done. And, like me and Marcus have said the whole time, like our goal and our main focus every day was to win a championship. And it sickens us that we weren't able to accomplish that in the 4 years we were there. And, I told Cash I was thankful for the opportunity he gave me. Obviously, a dream to be in a major league clubhouse and dugout, especially one as legendary as the New York Yankees. But I respect that they got to go a different way. And they obviously want a different voice. So it's not ours.
PJ, were you given any specific reasons why?
Not necessarily. Obviously, it was a trying season. It was tough. There was a lot of ups and downs. Very streaky, which I know is a big story out there, but it was true. It was streaky, and it was a tough year. Because obviously we underperformed and we didn't live up to the expectations, which are, very high, but they should be high. I imagine that's probably part of that. I don't necessarily think that the organization thought we were bad people or bad coaches. I just think they wanted to go in a different direction.
PJ, the question that kind of kept coming up all year long is just why didn't this team hit when we saw what they were capable of 2 years ago? It was pretty drastic, especially with specific players. I'm sure this kept you up quite a bit at night during the course of the year, but is there a good answer for just the question, why didn't this team hit?
If I had the answer, we might not be having this conversation right now. I think it's a lot of factors. It's baseball. Baseball is really hard. It's never been harder to hit than it is right now. That's no excuse. We're prepared. Our process was, we believed, Marcus and myself, our process was really, really strong. as far as daily meetings with the players and, you know, information on who we were facing on any given day. And it's just, it's part of the game. You're going to struggle. And, you know, I was told early in my career as a hitting coach by one of my mentors that, you know, as a hitting coach, you're never going to have all 13 guys going hot at the same time. You hope to have a few, and, you know, the good years are when you got more than half. But, you know, it seemed like the struggles came, and naturally, like any human would do, or any, you know, professional athlete with high expectations of themselves, I think we at times tried to do a little too much. You know, when the situations became, you know, crucial, I think we tried, you know, not for lack of effort by any means. I just think, you know, we try to do a little bit too much sometimes, and sometimes that can make things a little bit tighter and a little bit tenser, and make it a little bit harder to slow the game down and come through when you need to. But it wasn't due to any lack of preparation or effort from our guys. I mean, Marcus and myself couldn't have asked for a better group of guys the last 4 years, and anyone that came in through that hitter's room was a joy and a treat to work with, and we're definitely going to miss every single one of them.
I know during the course of a long season, especially when a team or players get off to slow starts, you kind of wait for things to settle a little bit, and you count on a long season offering some sort of a bounce back. And that didn't happen to as great a degree as it probably should have with a lot of these guys. What were some of the things that you and Marcus were trying to do on a daily basis to make things a little bit different? What were some of the things, some of the tweaks, some of the changes that you were trying to do to get these players back to where they're supposed to be?
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to obviously talk to the player first, ask them how they're feeling, what they're thinking when they're in the box. You know, we go to the video, we compare, you know, current state of where the player is to when the player is at his very best. And we're always going to do that. That's something that you do every single day of every year. Is you're always in that checks and balances with where your guys are currently as compared to where they are when they're at their very best. But at the end of the day, too, I mean, it's about, I mean, we're trying to make adjustments, talk to guys, and our guys, to their credit, I mean, they're open. I mean, they weren't closed off by any means. Everybody was trying to make adjustments and trying to get to that, back to that good feel of when they're at their very best. But that's something that players are going to deal with every day of every season of their career. I mean, you're always trying to be at your very best, and you're always trying to make little adjustments here and there, and not so much per se mechanically. I mean, a lot of it's going to be mentally, you know, as far as plan, approach, adjustment, in-game stuff. So, I mean, it just, you know, it didn't, like you said in the question, it just didn't, it just didn't get to the level that we were accustomed to, that we all expected it to get to, and you know, that was the frustrating part this year.
There were certainly some games and some stretches, PJ, where this team performed the way they were supposed to, and it was always a mystery when it kind of went back the other way, and over the course of a long season, you saw what the offense ended up being. It always brings up the question, you know, listen, when they're performing, nobody has a complaint, right? But when you're having trouble scoring, it brings a lot of things into question. And the one that kind of gets brought up to me the most that I don't have a great answer to is it's about approach philosophy. Does this organization, the hitters individually, is there a problem with approach philosophy? Is that part of the issue going on?
No, as far as Marcus, myself, the organization, we had a unified message of what we were trying to do, which was, you know, control the strike zone. We did that from day one. It's something that I think our guys were definitely committed to and still did a very good job. And we still led baseball in walks this year and still had a very high on-base percentage. It's just that slug didn't show up like it had in the previous 3 years. But that's something we're talking to the guys about every single day is our approach. I mean, our overall approach is get good pitches, keep pitchers in the strike zone, wear them down, get good pitches to hit the ball hard in the gaps, use the whole field. And that's stuff we're talking to the guys about every single day. And, you know, it's baseball. We just, we didn't have as much success this year as we did in years past. And you know, it's like I said, we can own that.
Do you think there were certain physical limitations on some of your guys when you look at what DJ LeMahieu and Gio Urshela did a couple of years ago versus what they did now? We know that there were some physical issues with those two. Do you think that compromised them to the degree that we saw their performance fall off this year?
No, I don't. I mean, those guys are gamers and they're grinders and they play through anything. It's hard to take those guys off the field. I mean, you look at Gio sacrificing his body, running into a dugout, and DJ's an absolute warrior, and the list doesn't stop there. Like, those guys showed up to work every day, hiked up their pants and tried to get better every single day. And there's no excuse to that. These guys are amazing hitters and amazing baseball players. And like I said earlier, it was a joy to come to work and get a chance to be a small part of their careers every single day. And these guys are more than capable. I just think it was a tough year and it just didn't go our way, Sweeney.
PJ, two other guys I just want to ask you about are Gleyber Torres and Gary Sanchez. And, you know, you hear a lot of times, don't take your troubles at the plate into the field and vice versa. Do you think that the troubles they had at their positions defensively affected them at the plate at all?
It's hard to say. I mean, especially from Marcus and my perspective, and we're dealing so much with just the hitting aspect of it and, you know, how much you need to be mentally dialed in and concentrated on that part of the game. So it's hard to say how much they took from that to offense, because we're solely focused on, you know, getting them in the right approach and making sure their head's right to go out and have, you know, quality at bats and help the team in that way. So for me, I don't know. I think that's something you'd probably have to ask them.
PJ, on a personal level, you've been with the Yankees since 2004. Your playing career was here. Your coaching career began here. You played in the minors with Brett Gardner, and you ended up coaching him in the big leagues. You've only known success moving up the chain. As these young players grew up into big league players, you kind of grew with them, moved up the chain in the coaching ranks and up to the big league roster as a coach. What is a day like this feel like when, you know, it ends like this for you after so long in this one organization?
Yeah, it's definitely tough. I think I was telling my parents on the phone last night. I mean, the Yankees are a major part of my life. They're a major part of the discipline I have as a person, as a coach, as a husband, as a friend. I mean, this organization has taught me so much, and I'm so thankful to them for even giving me a chance as a player, as a coach, as a major league coach, to be able to be in a major league dugout, especially Yankee Stadium, every day for 4 years. Was a dream come true to me. So it's a tough pill to swallow, but it's part of the game. I understand that. It's part of the business and it's part of the game. So it's going to be tough for a little bit to realize that, hey, like, you're not a Yankee anymore right now. But I definitely think the future's still bright for me. And looking forward to the next opportunity I get within the game.
Yankees third base coach Phil Nevin joined Aaron Boone's staff, joining the Yankees at the beginning of the 2018 season. 4 seasons as the Yankees third base coach. He was kind of the emotional one. He was the fiery one, the one who, you know, if you're going to play good cop, bad cop in the dugout, and Aaron Boone is the good cop, well, Phil Nevin was the bad cop. He's the one who let players know exactly how he felt, and he was good at that. I asked Phil Nevin when he found out, and what he was told.
Cash called yesterday. It's just, you know, they're going a different direction. I mean, reasons and stuff, you probably have to ask him. I thanked him for the 4 years, and, I have a lot of respect for Brian Cashman before I came here, and I have the same leaving. He's a friend, good baseball guy, and just told him I appreciated the time here. That was all.
So, Phil, what?
It's just, you know, when things don't work out, you know, you got to make changes, and I just happen to be one of them.
Phil, what's the most disappointing part about watching the way the team played this year and what you might have or could have been able to do about it but weren't?
Oh, you know, I mean, losing is disappointing. I mean, I came here and figured, you know, if I'm here for 4 years, we're going to have a shot at the trophy, and it didn't happen. So that's the most disappointing part. And really, that's the only disappointing part. I love my time there, love the city, the people. You know, I walk out with my head high, knowing that, you know, I gave what I had for to make us better each day. So, you know, I'll be fine. I'm not done in this game. There's a lot ahead. There's always adversities that are handed your way, and it's how you overcome and how you respond to those adversities that make you a good person. So,
Phil, I know that third base is a highly pressurized spot, and I learned from Larry Boa a long time ago. He told me if you're not getting guys thrown out at home, then you're not trying. It's part of the job. But when there are a number of guys thrown out this year and it becomes part of the Yankees story because they're having trouble scoring, how did you take that? Were you trying to force the issue more, or were there certain other factors at play there?
No, I mean, I don't think I changed an approach with – I mean, I think you have to change approach with personnel in every aspect of the game. We run a contact play a lot more than others. You know, as far as – third base sends and guys getting thrown out, I probably have to differ with how that is worded, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But you know, there's just certain situations that arrive that sure, you have to be a little more aggressive than others. And, you know, the one thing I do know is I took pride in what I did. I you know, my preparation before games, my thought process before pitches, the things you ask yourself, were you in the right spot at the right time to make the right call? And I can tell you there's always going to be some that you want back. You know, as the game flow is going, you know, after the fact, certainly do I look back at the Judge play and wonder about it? Certainly after the fact, because he was out. But
yeah,
I also know at the time the right decision was made, as much as people want to, you know, refute that and say this and that. I mean, it was two great plays in an important part of the game that didn't go our way. We score that run, we win the game. I'm convinced of it. And I don't have any regrets as far as that one, except for the fact that at the end of the day, it didn't work out for us. But that had nothing to do with it. And Cash even said so. That had nothing to do with it. There's just... Hey, when things don't go right, and you don't get, you're the New York Yankees, and you don't get to the pinnacle of this, you know, changes have to be made, and I understand that part. It's not the first time. You probably won't be the last. So, like I said, a lot of great friends out of this, a lot of great relationships that I'll have forever. The texts I'm getting from the players, some of the other coaches, support staff, have been overwhelming, to be honest with you. It's it woke up this morning to a lot of them, and after having a rough night of sleep, and I tell you what, I feel like a different guy today after hearing from players and people that are important to me involved in this situation that had some good things to say.
Phil, I got just one more for you. You've known Aaron Boone a long time. You got to work with him very closely for the last 4 years. When we break down what Aaron Boone does well and what he doesn't do well as a manager and what the last 4 years have been, what do you focus on? What sticks out to you about the kind of manager Aaron Boone has been?
I think he's outstanding. He's perfect for that job. He's perfect for that team. He's perfect for that city. The best I can say, we've had a couple emotional talks last night, today. You know, he's the most caring, honest person I've been around. You know, he's a consider him, you know, he's my best friend in life. I can say that. That bond became stronger over the past 4 years. So he's hurting right now. And it's not just for me. It's for Marcus and PJ. It's important people that have been there for the last 4 years that, you know, we've formed bonds with that will never be that you can't take away. And, you know, all baseball endings are cruel. You know, whether it's a game in September, October, or, you know, things like this happening, all baseball endings are cruel. And we all know this. We've been around it a long time. I feel bad for Aaron and that he has to go through this, to be honest with you. But he's one of the greatest people, persons I know, and whoever they bring in, you know, he'll do a good job of forming a good bond and making that room a good cohesive unit, like we all tried. So
the Yankees are in the market for at least three new coaches. I will tell you that it is not about work ethic when you talk about these three coaches and why they were let go. And you see this a lot. The results speak for themselves, and they speak to a lot of why they were let go. But the idea of how much time and effort the coaches put in, you see that on a daily basis, and that's not questioned. And I don't think the organization would question how much time and effort that these three guys put into doing their jobs. Didn't work out, and all three of them, you heard them admit, it's part of coaching, it's part of the job that they're in. At some point, you might get let go, and it's not a fun feeling. Those three put in a lot of time, put in a lot of effort, and the Yankees fell short, so they paid the price for it, and we'll see what else happens here. I think there is still a general feeling that Aaron Boone will be back, but every day he is not back, it does add a little bit more to the idea of where the Yankees go. Certainly, he has his contract is expired. Brian Cashman has one more year left on his contract, so it's up to Hal Steinbrenner to decide really how much farther he wants to go with both of them at the top of their respective positions and figuring out where the future goes. Although there does not appear to be any serious friction between Hal Steinbrenner, Brian Cashman, and Aaron Boone, which would lead you to believe that this relationship couldn't continue. But again, every day that it doesn't, we wait and see what the Yankees decide to do. For now, they have decided to part ways with three coaches, hitting coaches Marcus Thames and PJ Pelletieri, and third base coach Phil Nevin. Want to remind you to subscribe to WFAN's Baseball Insiders at Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe and review and all that jazz. And until next time, I'm Sweeney Murdy. Thanks for listening.